Freddy. Freddy, Freddy. Just waiting for this thing to go live.
All right.
Are we live? There we go. We're going live.
It's not Memorex.
Commercial's on.
Okay.
Took a little bit there. Took a little bit.
Okay. Ready when you are.
All right. Comments. Here we go. Got the comments.
Oops. Better be good. Fix my hair. Just one little string.
Enter, enter, enter.
Excuse me. Actually, no, it's
all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty and Afaro, where we're going old school tonight, Thursday at 30. The you know, if everybody knows, we have our studio at Village Village Indie Music closed down, and we've been trying to work with a new studio, which is having some issues streaming, which lies a problem because we've got some new shows coming aboard, and of course Jimmy Farrow, and Jimmy Farrow shoots from Florida, so we have to have a better streaming service. But unfortunately tonight our own Jimmy Farrow is not feeling well, and who now I consider a very good friend. I made the call. I said, Miss Beefcake, if you have a moment out of your busy schedule, could you come on tonight and help the lonesome Mike Monty? And Missy, you did. And unbelievable, looking as beautiful as ever tonight. I don't know what to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me. I mean, honestly,
it's always a pleasure having you.
Very sweet.
So we're going a little bit street, you know, street savvy here and trying to figure this out. So I'm going to do some producing. Bruce was going to do the producing from his studio, but he had some internet problems. So we have another show called The 30, and that took a little time to get me. A what?
I just lost you for a second.
Are you ready to go? Can you hear me?
I am ready to go.
You sound great. I can hear you well. We are awesome. Ready. First of all, I want to thank everybody for joining us on Thursday night. As always, I miss you guys. I know our production level hasn't been at the best lately, and we kind of pride ourselves on that, but we are working on that, and that will be settled shortly. Anyway, Missy, big news before we went on today. O.J. Simpson, dead at 76 years old. O.J. Simpson has died of cancer. At age 76, his family announced Thursday the former NFL star and broadcaster, athletic achievements and fame were eclipsed by his 1995 trial in the brutal killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Simpson, and her boyfriend, Ron Goldman. Thoughts on that, Missy? O.J. Simpson.
I love O.J. I honestly, my heart goes out to his family. Huge. I watched him driving in the Bronco. Like, that was like major excitement. You know, I'm sure that if we had the internet back then, like, it would have been like in the car and the whole thing would have been streamed live. But I feel terrible. I didn't know that he had cancer. You know, and of course I feel bad for Nicole's family that her murderer was never found, but you know, rest in peace. Maybe she's waiting for him at Pearly Gates.
Wow. So from this conversation, I'm getting you don't believe O.J. Simpson did it.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. I don't think he did it.
Can you elaborate more? I mean, that's a fair take and an interesting take. I'm surprised. I wouldn't have known you would have. I would not have thought you thought that. But
well,
let me hear what your thoughts are. Like, why don't you?
I'm not a crazy, you know, celebrity stalker, but you know, I loved his career. He would have had to be, he was a great athlete, but he would have had to be Superman to have committed those two murders, went home, changed his clothes, cool as a cucumber in the limo and heading off to do whatever it was that he was doing. Like, to me, it didn't add up. And the glove thing, the crooked cops, that Mark Furman or whatever the hell his name was. Like, I did not like that guy. To me, an American hero is an American hero. And I know there's been a lot of stuff with celebrities and, you know, sexual allegations and stuff. But I don't think OJ did it. I think he really loved Nicole. He was obsessed with her. Why would he kill her?
Well, you know, Missy, the one thing that I always remember about that is I was a huge New York Knicks fan at that time. And if you know anything about basketball, the Knicks never make it to the finals. Well, this particular year they did. And only in New York Knicks style can the NBA finals be preempted for a car chase with O.J. Simpson and his white Bronco. And as a Knicks fan, I'm like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
You should have bought a ticket. That'll teach you not to be cheap. Next time, go to the game if you can. Splurge.
But I mean, that is an interesting take on what you're saying. Do you think society in itself just, again, this is in what year was this? 1995, right? As human beings, do we always want to, consider people guilty? Look, we haven't been able to be on air. We speak often, but we didn't speak about this. Let's kind of parlay that into the Vince McMahon thing. I didn't get your take on that whole situation, and I'd love to hear about that. And just real quick, people are asking about obviously your time on Dark Side of the Ring just a couple weeks ago. We're going to get to that, everybody. It was in the lineup. But yeah, as human beings, are we, especially as Americans, are we against the culture now? And now it is guilty till proven innocent. And I'd love to hear your take on Vincent Kennedy and McMahon.
You know, again, social media has changed things a lot. So back in the day with OJ, if there had been, you know, the abuse, we've seen pictures of Nicole, you know, bruised and battered. There would have been more of that. Right. So we see a lot of stuff. So in our minds, I think that we just kind of, you know, guilty. P. Diddy, sexy guy. Now all of a sudden it's like he's sex trafficking. But was it sex trafficking? Like, I don't get the whole sex trafficking, because to me that involves like minors coming over in containers and, you know, being pimped out on the streets. He had a bunch of underage girls allegedly come to his house and have these blackout parties. So is he guilty of that? Probably, but does it make him it makes him a pedophile, actually. Yeah. No, I'm backtracking on P. Diddy. But
well, it's okay. We can backtrack.
You know, how many girls went to parties, underage girls went to parties, wrestling, rock and roll, you know, Aerosmith. We've all done it. All of us. We've all taken drugs. We've all had fun. We've all gone to parties with older guys. I know I certainly
have. Let me slow it down there, for example, right? You're a beautiful woman. You were beautiful when you were younger also. And I've seen pictures of you, and I'm assuming, you know, under 18, you probably look like you were 23. And, sure. You know, and when you go to these events and again, I don't want to make these assumptions because I'm kind of like victim shaming here, and I don't want to do that. But, you know, women can use that power and you can convince someone that you're of age, right?
I always told everybody how old I was. I was proud that I was like 17 or 18 and going to these parties. I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, luckily I was never, you know, put in any compromising situations other than, you know, a minor robbery. But, you know, that was fun. It's exciting. That's what it's all about. I mean, the excitement.
We have so much to talk about. Like, I want to hit so many subjects with you now, because now it's all rolling in my head. Let's get back on Vince, though. So Vince hooks up with a 30-something-year-old woman. She claims that he had this kind of control on her. He shit on her and turned or whatever. What are your thoughts on the whole thing? Is Vince guilty of this, or is it a relationship gone awry?
I hope that he didn't shit on her. That's the only thing that I have to say. Like, shitting on someone is pretty disgusting, and you have to be pretty twisted. I mean, some people like it. Two girls in a cup. Whatever. That do you. But I'm sure he had some type of relationship with her. I mean, it's that boss, you know, secretary fantasy that's been around for years. I mean, it happens. We all know that happens. And if he had a relationship with her, I'm sure it was consensual. But I think that there was another guy, right, that he kind of like was like Laurinaitis or somebody like that, right? I think maybe he pimped her out a little bit to that guy just to feel cool. You know, I don't care how much power you have, how much fame you have. At the end of the day, there's still that 13, 14-year-old boy rubbing one out in the bathroom. And you go back. In your mind, you're still that 13-year-old kid, and you can't believe you made it so far. And you want to share everything with everybody, including the girls. And you want to look like you've got a big swinging dick. You know, I don't know. I think he pimped her out. I hope he didn't poop on her. You know, I've got a lot of respect for Vince McMahon and the things that he's done as far as taking the company, like, to billions and billions. I mean, I've heard stories from His Highness about, you know, stuff that happened at his house with both Vince and Vince's wife, but I'm taking that to the grave.
Oh, man. The teases. Look, but here's the thing. Just because you have a certain sexual appetite that may not be the norm of others, that doesn't make you a bad person, right? I mean, look, Missy, let me ask you this. You're an independent woman, smart. Would there be any point where you could be forced into doing things that you don't want to do?
Not if the price is right.
Well, no. Thank you. Thank you. For $2 million, Vince can have his way with me. Trust me. I would have no problem whatsoever. You know what I'm saying?
To pop a little blue pill and meet me in the green room, you know? Not you, Vince. Vince and Laurinaitis. What the heck?
Why not? You're too funny. Also, while you haven't been on, there's been, you remember the Ring Boy scandals back in the day, yeah, in the 80s, right? You were a wrestling fan growing up. And, you know, there's a gentleman that we gave a lot of airtime to. His name is Lee Cole. He's the brother of Tom Cole. Tom Cole is the actual kid that claimed to be mentally abused because Mel Phillips wanted to rub his feet, right? And that ruined this guy's life. I don't know how, but whatever. People are all made differently. But Lee has now used this.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Oh, no, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can, yes.
All right, good. What did you say? You love Mel?
I met him.
Okay, so what was your experience of Mel Phillips?
After I had kissed the Million Dollar Man's foot at Boston Garden, Mel was there. I didn't know who he was. I wasn't really sure. I knew that he wasn't like a manager or whatever, but he was back, you know, behind the brown curtain and everything. And he said to me, "I'm going to make you a star. You're so good. Give me your phone number. I'm going to make sure that, you know, you're hired with the WWF at the time." And I did give him my phone number. And he called me a few times and he wanted to meet, but it was never at like WWF headquarters. Now, my mom, she wasn't letting me leave the house for any, you know, buddy to say, "I'm going to make you a star," because, you know, she was smart. So I never did obviously go out with him, but he did call and he was like, "Let's get together. Let's, you know, meet and we'll talk about it." But I want to talk to Vince and Laurinaitis. No, I want to talk to Vince. I don't want to talk to Mel. And, you know, I started making, I wish I had it here, because the other day I was jotting stuff down because I saw that Lee Cole guy talking about, you know, his brother and stuff, and, you know, hoping that he gets a big payday. So I was putting together a little shopping list, and like the first thing I wrote down was teeth. Like that would be a good thing for him to get if he does get money. Teeth, very important.
They are. It is pretty important.
It's very important.
Let me ask you this. So this guy, Lee, and I don't want to make it too much about this guy because we have so much to talk about. But this guy was actually arrested for kidnapping. And then he has the audacity to sit there and lay judgment on other people in order to make a dollar. I mean, what is wrong with the morality of the human race at this point? I don't know if it's just in wrestling or is it just in life. I have no idea.
No, I think that Lee guy, I think he's a bit of a loser. Talking about the mafia, and he said the U.S. Marshals were looking for him and he was hiding out. And then some lady from the Geraldo show, some reporter, found him at his house and threatened to park her car on his front lawn. Now I'm thinking to myself, so the U.S. Marshals can't find you and you're at home. But this lady can find, I mean, I don't think there are any U.S. Marshals for him.
I don't think so either. More power to him. You know what? He found a niche that I guess people just want to hear about Vince McMahon. So I guess, again, I don't understand how the brother of somebody is even taken seriously. You're the brother of a guy who claimed to have his feet licked. It doesn't make sense to me. But let's move on. I digress.
I did hear that he liked to, you know, rub the boy's feet. I would sign up for anybody that wanted to rub my feet. But
So let's look at that. I'm 18 years old, right? You're 18. You're a woman. Hey, hi, Missy. I like you. Can I rub your feet? Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Say is no. Oh, right?
Say, how much money do you have in your wallet?
That's right, Missy. You know what? Unbelievable. Because you're right. That's right. Pay me.
Pay me. Why not?
And we're good.
Whatever. You exactly. Like feet. There's a lot of feet or big action.
So, I'm a big Curb Your Enthusiasm guy. I don't know if everybody in the family out there watches Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the final episode was Sunday, and one thing that really I took home was Richard Lewis, who, God rest his soul, passed away just probably 2 months ago of a heart attack. In the episode, he has a girlfriend, and he's explaining to Larry that the girlfriend tried to commit suicide because Richard broke up with her. And the joke was, Larry, in Larry's own way, is like, I don't think you're suicide worthy. Like, you're not that person that someone commits suicide. But right. It made me think about this. And, you know, if Jimmy was on the show tonight, I was going to ask Jimmy the same exact question. But I have to ask you, being as wonderful as you are you suicide worthy?
I would have to say, if I were suicide worthy, there would probably be at least 100 dead bodies out there somewhere. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Are you sponge worthy?
Am I sponge worthy? I would tell you, Missy, if you got Monty in his 20s and 30s, definitely sponge worthy. This is what I tell my wife and my past girlfriends. I'm like the movie trailer. When you're in a movie and you see this trailer, and you're like, oh my God, I have to see this movie. But when you see the movie, you go, that movie sucked. Right. That's me. That's always been me, right? The presentation was okay. Everything's great. Everybody's excited.
Everything's over in 4 minutes, basically, is what you're telling me. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I just, you know what? It's like, you get excited about me and then you realize, yeah, this really wasn't that good. It's like a meal. You get this, like, you order, like, in your head, I want this great meal. It comes and it's there. And then you take that first bite and you go, eh. So was I sponge worthy? Maybe. When I was younger. Definitely not now. I already told you that. Forget about it.
You know. But
seriously, have you ever? Go ahead.
Have I ever what?
What were you saying?
I said it's good to reminisce.
When you were dating, look, obviously, again, I hate to sit there and talk about how beautiful you are, but you know this, right? has a guy threatened to kill himself after you dumped him?
No. Mm-mm, no. Threatened to kill me, maybe, but... but, you know, maybe he would probably want to kill himself over the lack of money in his bank account after I dumped him, but that would have nothing to do with, like, losing me forever, you know?
So let me ask you something. When you were into wrestling and you used to go to these events and stuff like that, did you ever get in a situation way before you met Brutus, right? But like, did you ever get in a situation where you were going to hook up with a wrestler that was older?
I do have a funny story. He's never actually heard it, but since he dated Nancy Rude, I'm going to tell this story about Ravishing Rick Rude. I loved Ravishing Rick Rude. I really did. And my girlfriends and I, we'd go to the wrestling matches. And one day my girlfriend, she got a room at the hotel. So this like this big thing. We were down at the bar and all the wrestlers were there. And we were young girls. We had fake IDs and whatnot. And Rick Rude kind of like approached me and he was like, I want to like go back to your room or something like that. Now, meanwhile, I'm a virgin. I'm putting it out there. It didn't look like a virgin. I would do anything except go all the way. But so we go up to my room. I don't know what I was thinking. Then he grabbed me and he kissed me so hard, like my toes melted. And then he said, I'm going to eat you alive. And I looked at him and I got scared. And I was like, you need to leave. Like, you gotta go. And he left. But, you know, I had no idea what anything was all about. You know, I was very immature. I think I'm still immature, but I was very sheltered as a young girl. But yeah, that was it. But he left. Now I think back, you know, could he have eaten me alive? Maybe. But, you know. I wasn't there.
But I'm thinking like, okay, so you go in that situation, right? This big giant guy and, you know, he's totally into you. Yeah. I mean, do you consider yourself lucky maybe? Like considering what you know now, like what could have happened in the room?
Like I said, today he might have been eating me alive. But not now that I'm married, if I weren't married. But no, of course.
Right, and, I got it, yeah.
I was always able to speak my mind. And I still am. If something made me feel uncomfortable, I would say I'm uncomfortable. And some that will snap a guy out of it pretty fast. So I'm lucky that certain situations that I was put in, you know, there's the $1 million man situation that I'm not going to talk about yet. But there was a, you know, there was something there. I don't really want to talk too much about.
Do you think in general most men have respect and they know when to stop, or do you think like I kind of in between, like I like for me personally, right, I could never take advantage of a woman, right? If a woman told me stop no matter what the scenario was or leave me alone, that's me, right?
Go away. Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, I do think the majority of men are, you know, wrestlers especially. You say no to a wrestler, the 10 steps away, there's somebody that's going to say yes. It's like I say, you sign up for certain situations, you know, just like sports figures and whatnot. You know, you it's a little different now that there is internet and pictures and stuff all over the place. Shit doesn't fly now. But back in the day, You sign up for it, and there's going to be somebody else just waiting. You said no. Oh, hold up. Here I am. I'm, you know, next.
Well, okay. But I think too, like, and again, not the victim shame, but if a woman puts themselves in that situation, it's like, do they not think, you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
Why even put yourself in that scenario to have to say no when it's going too far?
It's the fantasy of it all. I think everybody can get caught up in things, you know. You're excited, you meet somebody, you know, whoever it is, and you're all excited. He's into you, you're into him, and then all of a sudden something clicks, and you know, not everybody goes all the way on the first date. And it's not even a date. You're just there and he's there and he likes you and you're all excited. And so, yeah, you put yourself in that situation. If something happens you don't want to happen, that's not a good thing. But sometimes things happen and then afterwards you have like buyer's remorse or whatever it is. Never happened to me, but you know, I can understand, you know, thinking that, you know, you're hot and this guy, whoever he is, he wants you so bad. And then the next day I saw Shawn Michaels at Boston Garden. This is why I don't like Shawn Michaels. And there was the brown curtain. That's where the guys would come out. And there was this girl just, Shawn, it's me. Remember me, Shawn. And he walked right by her. He like totally like, couldn't give two shits. And she probably put out, you know, or did something. But like, right. To me, at least like that, like acknowledge, I like acknowledgement personally. Nobody forgets me, by the way. Mm. But yeah, that always rubbed me the wrong way. There were so many girls, you know, at Boston Garden just lined up, you know, waiting to meet wrestlers. And, you know, some were down somewhere, girl, they were girlfriends. I would see the same girls over and over, you know, coming and going with the same, you know, guys, you know. But that's, you know, you have a different woman in every city, or, you know, like Brutus would say, I'm like, oh, you know, screwed this one and that one. You probably a girl in every city. And he'd say to me, you know, sometimes there wasn't time to have sex, sometimes it was just a blowjob. And I'm like, oh my God, that works,
right?
But you had your girls that would pick you up at the airport and take you wherever you wanted to go. And, you know, they were miniature relationships within, you know, that realm, which everybody needs somebody to love and, you know, comfort.
Well, maybe we'll get into one of those. Maybe you and I will get into one of those miniature relationships later on in the show.
Yeah.
The president, Phil De Cesare, says the late Dan Marotti from Boston Wrestling, love to refer to ass eating Anns. I think Annie
is Annie
Boston. And Phil's asking, did you know ass eating Annie?
She's actually
I can't believe it. Hold on. You actually know ass eating Annie?
I, you know, as a matter of fact, I do. She is on Facebook. She's from East Boston. I heard the stories, like she would show up and she'd be like, is Greg around? Like, she would love the hammer. Is Greg around? And that was Brutus does her voice. Is Greg around? Like, she was bananas over the hammer. But yeah, I mean, and I've heard stories from other girls, you know, about ass eat nanny. I thought it was a rumor. Marty Jannetty today brought up ass eat nanny. So she's cute. I mean, she's cute. She worked at the Hilton.
Imagine going through your life being known as Ass Eating Annie.
Well, at least she's remembered for something. I mean, imagine how many people.
Listen, I'd rather not be remembered.
You know,
I don't think that I need that on my resume. Please stop.
You know, but really, at the end of your life, don't you want to be remembered for like something?
But not as Ass Eating Annie. I mean, come on, Missy. What do you? Are you crazy?
She's infamous. It's infamy. It's important. I don't think she eats ass anymore, though.
I hope not. I mean, eventually, I think you should stop. I mean, think about this. And I don't want to be disgusting, but you're going to eat some wrestler's ass that's all sweaty coming out. Ugh, come on, man. Come on.
Gross. And gross. I remember having a conversation with The Rock's dad. He loved Dwayne so much. The conversation always started out with Dwayne and how wonderful he was. And then it would go off to yesteryear. And his comment was about how dirty the girls showing up at wrestling matches are nowadays. Like he said, back in the day, if they brought a girl back to the room, they would shower. they would, you know, it was everything. It was romantic. The way he described it was romantic. And now he, you know, this was years ago, obviously, but he said, you know, the girls, they show up now, they look dirty. They don't look unkempt. They're not, he didn't think anybody was like beautiful like anymore. He liked the olden days and the romance of it. And that's what I like. I like the romance of, you know, liking a wrestler, meeting a wrestler, seeing Brutus on the elevator at, like, I forget where, the Slammy Awards. He got on the elevator and my heart was like, I should have kissed him back then, but I didn't. I should have. He's like, I was single.
Huh? But a good point's brought up though. Chris Morrill, that is it. He brings up the point about the wrestlers having sex with these women and how many children women were impregnated by these guys that aren't being taken care of. What are your thoughts on that? We're getting a little deep here, miss. I'm sorry. We're getting a little deep here.
Okay. I'm
crazy questions.
I do know there is a woman, Cindy, who is waiting for a DNA test. And this is not even somebody who I would consider a wrestler really at all, although he wrestles. You know, I know Brutus doesn't have any children other than the one child that he has. You know, I would hope condoms were used. I've never heard any stories. I mean, you don't see, that would be a nice website for all of the children that were born out of wedlock by wrestlers, like, and do like a big DNA thing and hook up, you know, if it happened. I don't know. I would hope that, you know,
that's not a bad idea. We'll have to talk about that after we get off air. Maybe we'll open up a website for people who think, just think about this. If you even put it out there, how many people claim that they're the son and daughter of some wrestler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exciting. I actually met Rick Rude's son on LinkedIn. Somehow really? We had something in common and he requested to be my friend. And I saw the last name Rude. And I was like, this is weird. So I asked him, I said, are you related to Rick Rude? And he said, yes, I'm his son. Isn't that weird? He was handsome too. He's a handsome kid.
Well, Rude was a good looking guy too, man. Right.
Yeah. He was
good looking. Little shout out to my buddy Jimmy. Jimmy is sick. He told me he's actually on antibiotics. So, wow. Jimmy, who lives in Florida now,
does he have syphilis?
I hope not. I hope not. That's for sure. You're kidding me? Please. Straight out of Wahoo Saloon, he's down living with Wahoo McDaniel's widowed wife. Are you allowed to say widowed or just say former? Which is the proper etiquette?
Widow. I mean,
right? Widow, right?
Widow. Yeah. Because
I got to tell you, let me ask you, did you ever meet Karen McDaniel?
No. I looked her up.
You know Wahoo McDaniel?
I do.
What happened?
I looked her up. I looked her up on the internet to see what she looked like. She looks like she was a hot babe.
She, I don't know her age now, but she still is beautiful. But I got to tell you, you know how I am about people, right? Either I like you or I don't like you, right? But I got to tell you, she is one wonderful woman. She's a class act. I'm glad Jimmy met her. I'm really happy for him. He needed to meet someone that solid in his life. She's a special person. I really dig her a lot.
I'm glad when anybody finds love. I love love. So I'm happy for him as well. And I'm
happy. I was going to say, you love love? Do you love love?
I do. I do. I love love.
All right, a little shout out. I'd like to thank the band that sings the theme song for Monty and Farrell and Jimmy Farrell, along with his partner, Bark Riggs, make up the band Wisteria Hall. Wisteria Hall sings such great songs as In My Dreams, This Life, Not Far Behind, Here Comes the Rain. You can find their music on the Wisteria Hall YouTube page, where you hit like and subscribe. Download their music off of Spotify, Apple Music, Reverb Nation. If you didn't know it, you're watching Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast, Monty Nefaro. You catch us on the Monty Nefaro YouTube page, Monty Nefaro Facebook live page. Hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor, Twitch TV, and if you're lucky enough to live in New York, Channel 115 every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday at 11:30 a.m. and Channel 20 at Tuesdays. Oh, sorry, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. where Missy was seen by over 150,000 people. Do you know that?
No, that's awesome.
Hi, it everybody. Is awesome.
I give him a little shake.
So since we're going old school at this point, we would probably go to a commercial break. But since I've got the wonderful Missy Beefcake here on, I got to tell you, Missy, you know, with all due respect, I got to give you, we spoke earlier, you know, last time you were on, and I got to give your mom tons of props. She did a wonderful job with you.
You speak your truth,
but I mean, you're just a good-hearted person.
Thank you.
And I you know what? You went Dark Side of the Ring a couple of weeks ago, and I want to talk about that with you. But before you go into and tell everybody your experience with Dark Side of the Ring, the one thing I got out of it is you and Brutus. Number one, I love the fact that you still call him Brutus. And obviously, I have to call him Brutus and Hulk Hogan because I'm not in that realm. But you still call him Brutus. But anyway, you could see the love and the respect that both of you have for each other. And like when you said you love, you guys definitely are the love connection. So kudos there.
Thank you. Thank you. I do. I love him. And I've never called him by his name. I don't like his name. Ed. I mean, that's terrible. But, you know, I mean, even Hogan said Ed's dead. You know, he calls Brutus, you know, Brutai. So I met him as Brutus, and he's my Brutus. He's my, you know, beef cock, I like to call him.
All right, so tell us about Dark Side of the Ring. What happens? How does this happen?
How did it happen?
Like, what, do they reach out to you? How does this whole work?
Well, we had done the Marty Jannetty Dark Side. And shortly after, I got a message saying, you know, we really loved you and Brutus together. We'd like to do a Dark Side Brutus, but we want to have you on as well because of the dynamic. So, of course, I negotiated myself one hell of a deal. you know, and we made arrangements to film. And everybody was great. Stu Stewart, the producer, director, he was fabulous. I love him. Everybody from Soup to Nuts was nice, with the exception of one person, Tara, who turned out to be a tyrant. I don't like her. But she's not with the Dark Side anymore, thankfully. Or Vice TV, you know, and they came over, they did it so good. And, you know, Brutus and I were with the golf cart scene. There's so much more on the golf cart. Like, we were stupid. Brutus was bitching. He almost ran over one of our neighbors. You know, we just had so much fun. And we had everybody dying, and whoever was in the car listening, because we were mic'd up, they were all dying laughing because, you know, Brutus and I, we have such a good relationship. There's a lot of really great banter. And like you said, like, people, when they meet us and they see us together, they see our dynamic, and it's very loving. But it's also we respect each other a lot. He's been through a lot in his life, you know, the accident and whatnot, and, you know, failed marriages, you know, so he's been through a lot, and he's all heart. I mean, he really, if you knew him, to see the level of, you know, commitment and love to everything. His daughter, he loves her to death. They don't have much of a relationship now because of the breakup and whatnot, but he loves her so much. And, you know, he's just waiting patiently, you know, until whatever time comes that they're able to reunite.
The one thing, though, I thought I got out of that, too, is it made me feel really bad, was I felt like he misses that relationship with Hulk Hogan. It almost like he wouldn't, not that he was going to talk bad about him, but you could tell that he has really nothing bad to say. Like, he, I don't know, but that's the way it came across, that he really misses that relationship.
You know, that was before the Theo, he was on Theo. You know, the thing is, it's all about me. That the two of them never had a problem, never had a fight. It's about me. Hogan doesn't like me. And Brutus, God bless him, you know, stands by my side. He does. He, of course, he misses the friendship, but, you know, Terry has done Brutus wrong. He talks about Brutus. He talks about me all the time. It's disgusting. I kind of understand. Like, Hogan was going through a situation, the whole Bubba the Love Sponge sex scandal thing. And the weekend that we came down here before we moved, it was all sex talk all weekend with the Hulkster. Hulkster had a lot of questions about me and Brutus, our sex life. Brutus had, this is TMI, but had like what they call a Jacob's ladder, right? Like piercing on his penis. Had like six, yep. You know, and, you know, Hogan was really interested in that. Well, can you feel that? Like, I'm like, you know, I don't, what do you say? No, yes. I mean, none of your business. But he was really into, how many times a week do you guys have sex? And I'm good for three times a week. And, you know, I mean, it was just sex, and more sex talk. But apparently Jennifer, who wasn't there on the Bubba the Love Sponge night when we went to the racetrack, I didn't know that it was also fresh and that she hung out with Bubba and Bubba's wife. She probably just took one look at me and was like, oh, fuck no. Mm-mm. No. Not that I would go for Hogan. He's not my type at all. I don't like arrogant men.
I got to go back to the Brutus thing, though. The piercings in the penis. What is, like, shit? Does that hurt?
I told get rid of that shit. I don't like it. That's like the devil. Get rid of that.
Mm. Well, did you ask him, like, what made you do that?
Well, I almost chipped a tooth once, and I was like, that has to go. I think, you know, he has his nipples pierced. I think he just went through, like, a thing, you know. You know, wanted to, you know, try, do whatever. Maybe it feels good sex-wise. I don't know. But like I said, I'm not chipping any teeth because he's got to look weird, pretty, whatever you want
to
call it.
My boy Luce out there goes, Monty, going back to the dick talk. I had to ask. It's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know, man. Piercing your penis seems a little rough.
You know what? I would hate to be the guy that had to do the piercing. That's all I'm saying. Like, and it was a dude. It was a guy who did the piercing. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What does the guy, like, hold it and, like,
this?
Like, I don't even know how that works.
They pull out the skin with forceps and then, you know, stick a needle. And you know how sensitive guys are with their, you know, their balls and stuff like that. Like, I was cringing. I was like, oh, I cannot imagine somebody down south, you know, trying to pierce things. I mean, my situation is a little different than his. He had more to work with than I do, obviously, but I would never. It's not for me.
Well, I'm sure Brutus appreciates you telling the world that his penis has...
Well, that's gone now. He doesn't have that anymore. I got rid of that pretty quick.
So let me ask you, I don't mean to stick on this subject. Sorry, Luce, but when you get your ear pierced, you still have a hole in it. Like, does the penis still have a hole in it? Or is it like, is there any ear?
I haven't looked. Like, I'll check. I'll let you know next time we talk.
Yeah, we got it. I got to know. It's very important for me. I need to know this type of stuff. Oh, listen, I live a very shallow life. I have to learn. I have to have some sort of enjoyment.
We'll find
out. Listen, I'm going to hit you with some wrestling talk, okay? Because, you know, again, you're still into wrestling. You're married to a wrestler.
Yes.
But anyway, recently, you know, CM Punk went back to the WWE, and he had problems at AEW where he had a fight. And basically, Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, showed the backstage brawl, or if you call it a brawl, last night on AEW.
I saw it.
I wanted to know your thoughts about the lack, you know, when we talk about loyalty, the lack of loyalty that goes on even in the professional wrestling world. I mean, I imagine speaking with Brutus and his problems with Hulk and maybe with other wrestlers, I'm sure everybody has these sort of arguments. No one argues more than I do, so I could speak to this. But what is your feelings about what's going on in today's wrestling and the lack of loyalty and trying to embarrass each other at every chance?
Yeah, I don't, you know, the guys, you know, the women, the boys, it was always the boys, the boys. The guys always had each other's back. They traveled in packs together, like wives' vacations. They vacationed together. They hung out together. And everybody knew that everybody worked together. And as long as everybody was working together, they were all going to make money. You don't want, there was never any of that petty shit, to the best of my knowledge. I saw the thing with CM Punk attacking poor Jungle Boy, and I still call him Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. And I thought it was just disgusting. And he grabbed him by the hair like a bitch. You know what I mean? He grabbed him by the hair. Like, what is up with that? You know? Those beautiful curls.
But wait a minute. You think Jungle Boy should really be a wrestler, though? I mean, look at your husband. Look at the wrestlers you grew up watching. And then you got this Jungle Boy guy that's like,
You know, there's a lot more acrobatics now. Like back in the day when Brutus was a wrestler, when the wrestlers walked into a room, you were like, wrestler, like huge, bigger than life. Brutus, of course, was the best looking one out of the whole bunch. But they were big, they were strong, and they wrestled. They did the lock thing and whatnot to begin with. Now it's more acrobatics and flips and dynamics and stuff. So wrestling's changed, the wrestlers have changed, and it's, you know, it's like the cavemen till now, you know. I mean, things have progressed. I wish there was more. I like the fights. I like that. I don't like, you know, backstage bitch stuff, grabbing people by hair. That to me is, it's rude. It's not giving a good representation of wrestling, even though it was probably planned. That, you know, was it really a backstage fight, or was it like, okay, you guys are going to get into a fight, do it? You know, I'm sure it wasn't choreographed, but
well, that's a good point too. There's some speculation that that could have been the case, but like, here's my question: would like an 18-year-old Missy be into today's wrestler? Say you were growing up today, would wrestling be your thing?
If I started out young, the way I did with wrestling back in the day, because I started watching wrestling when I was like 7, 8 years old. So if I started then, yeah, probably would be. Who would I like now? That's another question. There's nobody that really like does it for me now. Chris Jericho, I think he's hot. But there's nobody that really does it for me. So maybe I don't know. Maybe would I be interested? I don't know.
So since you brought up Jericho, do you think it's time for Jericho to hang up the boots? I mean, Look, the guy was an all-time great. But at some point, I think when you reach a certain age, you gotta call it a day, don't you think?
Well, it's not like he's Ric Flair passing out in the ring. You know what I mean? He still has it. He's still really fit. And the people love him.
Well, wait a minute. Let's be honest here. He's fit. Okay. So this is my analysis. And again, beat my ass and yell at me if I'm wrong. All right. Sylvester Stallone, even back in like Rocky, you know, Balboa. Right? The guy's in this great shape.
Mm-hmm.
But at 56, 63 years old, 64 years old, you can only be in great shape for a 63-year-old.
Right.
You know, a young man, well, that's why a young man, old lion, right? So, again, you're right. Jericho's in great shape for a 50-something-year-old. But Let's be honest. He doesn't look like, you know, like, unless your name's The Rock, who's totally enhanced himself, right?
Yeah. I think personally, Chris Jericho looks better than some of, like you were talking about, the tiny wrestlers, skinny, you know, he, to me, because of my wrestling history, he's more my type because he does have that. He's bigger than, you know, like I want somebody that can throw me around in bed. I don't want somebody that I can, you know, twist with my fingers at the tongue, you know?
I hear you.
Yeah.
So Missy, like we were talking about, right? So everybody out there, we're waiting for the new studio. We've got Abe working at the new studio, trying to set up a whole bunch of stuff. I've got Stan Hansen in studio on May 3rd on Thursday at 9 p.m. And then that May 4th, we've got the great Tony Garean at 6 p.m. And then another wrestler. Will be, because I can't remember his name.
I love a guy.
But, yeah, well, I don't want to be like that, but I just can't, you know. Again, old man body, old man mind. But one thing that's really exciting is Missy Beefcake will be coming on the channel. She'll have her own show. We're getting everything set up. I'm getting the artwork set up. And I want Missy to share with you guys what the show is going to be about. The name isn't official yet, but we're kind of looking. Well, you know what? Instead of giving the name, Missy, please tell everybody what the concept of the show is going to be and what we're looking forward to.
You know, nobody gets to hear the stories from the wives about, you know, what it was like or what it is like, because there's, you know, obviously still women that are married to wrestlers, but what it was like back in the day, like, what was it like to be so-and-so's wife? Did you travel? Did you hear stories? Some of the younger wives of the newer wrestlers, like, what's it like? Like, I mark out over my husband all the time. I'm still woo-hoo, super fan, but you know, what is it like? Like when your husband comes home to you, is the character on? Is there sometimes the character like clicks on during certain situations? Like, what is it like being married to a professional wrestler back in the day, today? Are there things would change? You know, a lot of the women did stick around through all of it, and they're still married and happily married today. I couldn't have done it, but I'm glad I met Brutus when I did. But, you know, kids, raising kids. What are the kids like? Like, Rebby Hardy, she's got a wrestling ring in her garage, and her kids, like, do wrestling moves. And, you know, it's very much, she's very sporty with Matt. And I like that everything is connected. So, you know, we're going to find out what it's like to, you know, be married to, like, who knows, like, you know, do they fart? Like, you know, I mean, what's it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What's, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, are they really like superheroes, or do they fart and put their socks on like, you know, everybody else? But, and we can talk, you know, smutty if we want. Or,
well, I think one of the questions, and this always is like, I always thought to myself, like, does Greg the Hammer Valentine cut his own lawn? Like, do you think that's like the wrestlers cut their own lawn?
Cut. Oh, I don't think Greg could move around the yeah, I don't think Greg, no.
He can't cut the lawn.
His pig, Julie had pigs, and one of the pigs fell in the pool and died. And yeah, she never went in the pool after that. Greg would clean the pool, but after a while, their pool was green for many, many years. But yeah, Julie never went in the pool again after her pig drowned. Really sad. Too sensitive like that. Yeah.
All right, Miss, I need your advice here, right? So I told you, I sometimes I have trouble getting along with people.
Yeah. You? No.
And I take a lot of things very seriously, whether it be my job or this show or this channel. And we've got so many, you know, we're trying to rebuild the channel with all these different shows because I have this vision. Mm-hmm. That I believe will be very successful, not to get too deep into it. But again, we've had so many people that have joined the show every Thursday and support us, which is wonderful. They're through thick and thin. You know, like I said, we've got some great hosts. Like we've got Dan and Benny in the ring, and we've got ESO Creative. And like I said, I'm trying to build this thing. We got Mr. President Phil, and they do all these great shows. We had a guy named Joe Lowry. What a day. And, you know, he was a very calm.
What a loser. I know that guy from North Quincy High School. We used to call him what a loser in high school. They're like, get what a loser. Here. Yeah, what a loser.
Stop it.
No,
really?
For real. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now I get it because I all right. So tell me if I'm wrong here. So Joe tried to like build his reputation in the wrestling industry. And I allowed him on the channel. He seems like a very nice guy. I don't know him personally. Never did anything wrong to me. But he was really big on self-promotion. Mm. And
most guys with little dicks are.
So
I'm joking.
Joe, opportunity to do a WrestleMania post show with Bill Apter and Vince Russo. I think you know Russo. I don't know if you know Apter.
I do know Bill.
And congratulations. Everybody on the channel was very happy for him, but Joe wasn't doing anything to help promote anybody else, and not that we needed it. We were doing most of the promotion for him. He was getting more than we were getting from him. So I basically told him, look, you got what you needed from us, which is all well and good. We knew this was happening. Very happy for you. Mm-hmm. But now, as a business person, I feel you're a competitor, and I can't have you on the channel anymore, right? Because you're a competitor. This right. is not, I don't like you, right? As a person, we could be, but we're competitors, or we could be friends in commerce or whatever else. And it kind of blew up, and I was worried because Jimmy and I actually interviewed Joe because he told us a story about him and Jimmy Snuka. He had a girlfriend, and Jimmy Snuka was banging his girlfriend, and he had all these mental problems over it, which I'm sorry, I thought was kind of funny because I just didn't understand, because Jimmy Snuka is fucking your girlfriend doesn't mean that.
I don't think
you
that
should have
happened.
A mental breakdown.
I find it very suspicious that Joe had a girlfriend. I mean, come on now. Listen. And why would you tell anybody? Here's the thing. If you're going to make up a story about somebody banging your girlfriend, why would you choose Jimmy Snuka? Why would you pick him? Snuka? I'd be like Rick Rude. Yeah, Rick Rude was banging my girlfriend. Or, you know, don't use Brutus, but you know, but I met Joe at a show, and he wanted Brutus to do, can you do a shout out? Hey, what a day, blah 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 blah. And I said it's $75 or $100 or whatever for a shout out, you know what I mean? And he's like, oh, okay, I understand. And he came back. I don't know if it was his mother or his girlfriend, some older woman. I don't know if it was his girlfriend or not. But if that was his girlfriend, I know Jimmy Snuka wasn't banging her for sure. But he came back with a credit card, and it was her credit card, and paid for Brutus to say, you know, what a day. I told Brutus to say, what an asshole, but he wouldn't. He'd have Brutus said, he's not look, like me.
Serious note, Missy, am I too rough on people? Should I just have let this go and let this guy stay on the channel? Am I being just a dick? Because if you ask my wife, she'll say I'm a dick, right? So I'm asking you, you know, friend to friend, am I out of line?
You know, I don't, if he were to come on your show and what a day and all this stuff, I would expect him wherever else he was to always make sure that he mentioned you. Monty, you know, big shout out to, right. you know, Monty and Pharaoh's show. Thanks, guys, for, you know, all you do. Like, my podcast wouldn't be the same without you, or, you know, and then that would be okay. But like you said, if he's off doing stuff and he's not giving props and accolades, because he probably wouldn't be, you need to have people behind you, and you need to have some type of reputation other than, you know, the guy that's lying about Jimmy Snuka banging his girlfriend, you know?
Well, I kind of agree with you, so I want you to help me with this. Can we role play together? Can you and I do a little role playing?
Sure. What do you got in mind?
All right, here we go. So I'm going to be Joe, and you're going to be Joe's girlfriend, but Jimmy's banging you. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to call you and let's see what we can get out of it. Let's see if we're a good impromptu. No, you don't have to do. We don't need visuals. All right. Let's see if we can do a Curb Your Enthusiasm special. We'll do impromptu comedy. All righty?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Ring. Oh. Ring.
Oh, my God, Jimmy.
Ring. She's not
picking
up, Mom.
Don't underestimate yourself. You're like super. Oh, fuck. It's my nerdy boyfriend. Hold on. Hello?
Hi, honey. It's Joe. What a day. What a day.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to change your name to What an Asshole, because you have no idea what's going on right now. You're interrupting me again, and you know not to call me during the lunch hour.
But, honey, I love you. What? I love you so much.
Just give me a second. You love me?
I love you, love honey. I'm just checking on you.
What are you checking?
I just want to see if you're okay. Has Jimmy Snuka been bothering you?
I'm not. Jimmy Snuka is none of your Are you mad at me? You know what? You've got.
Be careful.
You got the dog upset.
Jimmy could kill you, you know.
You got the dog upset. What are you going to do with that? You going to throw that at me? I know you're not going to throw that at me.
Is
you know,
Jimmy
Joe,
hurting you right now?
You have caused some serious problems. You're causing problems. I was having a good time until you called. What a bad timing you have, Joe. What a dick. You know what? I'm tired of you. I'm tired of you, Joe. I'm tired of you, and I'm tired of you. You need to leave and take your banana hammock with you. I'm done. Get out of here. Wait until you get home, Joe. You're going to be in big trouble.
I'm sorry, honey. I'll talk to you. Bye. Well done, Missy Beefcake. You should be an actress.
Thanks. That
All right,
funny.
Buddy. We hit our hour. Oh. We hit our hour, and it's our witching hour because we like to go to bed early. I want to thank you. You know, your camera looks so much better than mine. Mine sucks, you know? I really got to get back in studio,
my little
dude.
Laptop.
I really got to get back in studio.
It's all I use a laptop
for. You know what? I'm trying this iPad that I have.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be better, but I guess not. I guess not. But you look fantastic as always. So,
thank you. It's the light.
What are your future plans? Again, we talk all the time, and you're going to be a regular on the show, and we're very excited. But what can the fans expect from you and your wonderful husband in the upcoming weeks, months?
Well, Brutus will be in Canada. He's going to Nova Scotia. So he's really looking forward to that, going up to Canada and meeting with all the fans. You know, Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. We're going to be the big show in May with Matt Mashler, Neil the Heel. We've got fabulous, fabulous talent. I mean, we got a giant. We got Jack Talos. He's Cha-Cha Charlie. A lot of the guys have actually done some stuff on AEW. So we've had Ted has been there. DiBiase's been there. Hacksaw Jim Duggan has been there. Jake the Snake. So anybody that wants to go to like brcw.com and watch some of the matches, you'll be in awe because it would literally have a lot of the, like the old school good story. There's never a bad match. Everything is perfect. And Brutus is the commissioner. So he's commish and I'm delish. So I'm like lady with a million names, but we're finding our way. And of course, you know, TikTok, we'll be doing some TikTok live. People like that a lot. So it's all good.
Well, we love you. Good. We love your TikTok. So, you see, you are an awesome person, and more importantly, you're an awesome friend. I love you. I hope you have a wonderful night. I'll talk to you during the weekend, hopefully. And you know you mean the world to me. And thank you again. I want to wish my partner out there, Jimmy Farrell, please get better. I hope you feel better. And Missy, you're my savior. I don't know how to do the heart thing. I could try it.
I don't really know how to do it either, but it's something like that. Other way, the top, you get these fingers
like
going to the top. Yes, you did it.
Yeah, like this, maybe, right?
Yes.
So this is me to you. And again, I love everybody out there for joining us every Thursday. You are watching Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty the Farrow. For Mike Monty, his partner, Jimmy Farrow, and the great Missy Beefcake, we're wishing you all a wonderful Thursday and a wonderful weekend. God bless everybody.
Take care.